Welcome, dear listeners, to Voices from the Grid, Season 2. While for you it has been but a few weeks, it has been nearly 6 months since the cast has finished recording Season 1, and they are about to all be in the same room for the first time since then. Let's check in on our Rangers.
Hello? Anyone here?
Ben!
Hey, Ben!
Oh. Everyone's here. Well, Mike, Sasha, Brian.
Yeah. Everyone else got here a couple days ago.
Why didn't you call me?
I was going to, but Mike said you probably needed a few more days.
A few more days? For what? Sitting around playing WoW?
Mike said you started Operation Overdrive, and we all know how that can affect a person.
Yeah, we're not monsters. Watching Overdrive is the kind of thing that haunts a man.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, Mike, you wouldn't tell us why we needed to get together, so why are we here?
The next season of podcast Sentai Grid Ranger is out, so it's about time to do season 2 of Voices from the Grid, and it's about time too. I was going a bit stir-crazy on my time off.
Yeah, me too. Either that or there are parts of Overdrive I actually enjoyed. Anyway, nice to see we've got the command center up and running at last. Good job, Brian.
Yeah, and only with minimal explosions, too. There was one minor, huge explosion.
Any issues? Side effects?
No. Yes. The minor mini-huge explosion caused a reality-altering chain reaction that turned literally every piece of clothing I have blue. Even the ones I haven't bought yet.
Right. Well, I guess you're not the Yellow Ranger this season.
Sorry to drag us kicking and screaming back to the obvious, but reality-altering chain reaction?
Yeah, I've been working on a teleporter, and when the explosion...
A what?
A teleporter. You know, like in Power Rangers or Star Trek.
Wait. Really? Like an honest-to-Kirby real-life teleporter?
Yeah. Kind of puts to shame what we've been doing on our break.
Speak for yourself. I'm pretty sure rereading Young Avengers for the 20th time and writing fic fiction was a perfect use of my time.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with my time off, too. I maxed. I relaxed. And I didn't think about Power Rangers at all.
And then Overdrive happened.
Yeah. Don't remind me.
Must have been nice to have a break from ranting about Todd.
Who wants to see a teleporter? Follow me.
Sweet. So, Sasha, tell me about this latest fanfiction of yours.
I mean, it's not that exciting. Basically, Richter and Shatterstar are working with Layla Miller, and they have their own detective agency, and then they take this case that leads them to a sketchy orphanage.
Welcome to my lab.
Holy crap. You got all this up and running in 6 months?
Yep, admittedly, the positron collider is having some teething issues. Oh, maybe it has a leak. That would explain the explosion.
Well, that doesn't sound great.
Nonsense. Positrons are harmless to humans unless they, you know, mix with negatively charged putron particles.
Cool. And what's this contraption?
Putron generator.
Oh.
About that teleporter.
It's over here. See? There's a staging tube for each of us.
So we just stand in it?
Yeah, get in. Try it on for size.
No thanks. I'm allergic.
Allergic?
Yeah, I have a severe allergy against having my molecules ripped apart and assembled elsewhere.
Okay, coward. If you won't get in, I will. This tube is pretty roomy, actually.
Yeah, sorry about that. The tubes are universal, so it has to be able to fit any one of us.
No, that's fair.
For now, it has to be operated from this panel over here.
What does this button do?
Don't touch that. It'll destabilize the rear wave processing nodes and reattenuate the microfilament core booster, causing a... you know...
We get it. Button bad. Can we get on with the demonstration?
This console is amazing. I finally have a use for my Chief O'Brien cosplay.
Well, I've always wanted to say this. One to beam down.
Pretty simple, really, actually. Set your coordinates, energize your pattern buffer, and...
see a damn thing with all this smoke. Is everyone okay?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
Sasha, say something.
Hold on, just wait one second.
Better. Now we can see.
Sasha?
I don't see her anywhere.
Let's see. According to these readings, she's made a successful dematerialization, which means she's safe at her destination, or... Yes! Her pattern is still stored in the pattern buffer. She's safe! Yes!
That's great.
Okay, not to derail the happy train you two have going on, but maybe we should save the celebration for after we've brought her back.
Good point. Hold on.
Where am I?
Sasha! Thank the Maker. Are you okay?
Yeah. All my parts seem to be in the right places.
Are you sure you're okay?
I'm fine! Which is more than can be said for this place. Is that supposed to be on fire?
No, in fact, that's extraordinarily bad. Excuse me.
Okay. Sasha's back and Brian's quite literally fighting fires. I'm going back to the lounge. I need to sit down and grab a cup of hot chocolate.
And then there are two. You sure you're all right?
I'm fine. You on the other hand are...
Oh. I'm bleeding. That's not good. I'm pretty sure blood is designed to work inside the body.
Go get that looked at, and I'll just sit here and clear my head a bit.
You sure?
Yeah, go.
Fine. But if you need anything...
Go get looked at.
All right. Stay safe.
Okay. Don't freak out. Where the flubber am I? Flubber? Fidget. Fudge brownie! What kind of evil world is this that I can't even properly curse? What sick, twisted, incomprehensible world is this? Mike has brown hair, no beard. Why is Brian in my lab? And Ben is... How can Ben be 20 years older? Okay, take a deep breath. Calm down. Just, I guess... Okay. I can do this. I'm a genius. I can blend in, figure this out, and it'll be fine. I'll just play along as long as I have to until I can figure out wherever in Claremont's creation I am.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back. We are back for season two of Voices from the Grid. As we talk about Power Rangers season two, I'm Michael Lindenbaum. As always, I'm joined by Sasha Kaplan.
The one, the only, this ever snarky.
Brian Massey.
Hi, how's it going? I'm horrible with computers.
And our undisputed champion of Awesome Mania, Mr. Ben Taylor.
It me.
It's him.
It me.
It's
it
the him. Guy with the beard.
Yeah, I have over quarantine grown a beard that would teach the dwarves to deep too deeply and release a Balrog, and I am very proud of it.
You have a very busy day coming up December 25th, don't you?
Oh, very busy.
So, with that, Brian, you kind of caused a little stir before our intro music, man. What's up with that?
There's been a very small minor explosion from what we hear.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. The command center had a little blow up, but I had to go fix it, and Alpha was being useless, so...
Why is Sasha's color different?
Well, oh, right. No, actually, I don't think it is.
Hold on.
I don't know. Hold on, because I think...
Well, we know that all of Brian, everything Brian owns has turned blue.
Yes.
So he can't be the Yellow Ranger anymore.
Correct. So with that, I actually do have new color designations for everybody.
Cool.
With the exception of Sasha. Sasha, you're going to remain red.
All right!
You don't have to get a new bow.
Yeah.
I don't! Isn't that great? I get to keep the bow.
Let me do my best Zoran voice. The rest of you will be assigned new powers. So, Ben, my dude, for a couple of reasons, but mainly because I know you don't own that much pink stuff, baby. And I know that your favorite wrestler, I know that your favorite ranger is going to be coming up here soon. You get to be the Black Ranger.
I'm okay with this.
I'm going to be the Blue Ranger. And Mike, buddy, you're going to be the Green Ranger.
So I'm going to lose my powers and become the White Ranger eventually?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that later on, but yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that later.
The catch is that you don't get new powers and you just wear like some kind of like deflated green color the rest of the season.
But I have a question for everyone though, real quick. How much do we really trust Brian as the Blue Ranger with technology? We've had an explosion. We've had computer malfunctions.
But he's better than me.
I mean, even great scientists sometimes cause a little bit of a stir. Do you know how much the doc blew things up before he created, you know, he made a DeLorean into a time machine? Like, come on. There is a process.
She's got a point there.
I mean,
Geordi LaForge didn't start out as chief engineer of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
So with that, like I said, we are back. It is now season 2 of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers here on Voices for the Grid.
That feels good to hear.
I know. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Ladies that listen to the show, do you see what I have to put up with?
I just want to put it out there. When we release episodes now, moving forward, starting with this episode, we're not going to be doing episode dumps where you're getting 3 episodes a week. We're going to be releasing every Wednesday. So that way it's a little bit more consistent. And you have a little bit more time to listen to episodes before another one drops.
We don't have like 60 episodes to get through in a season.
Yeah. And we weren't like pre-recording stuff. And
slightly less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we start off
with the only time Michael gets to get a word in.
Yes, the only time I ever get a word in my favorite segment in my mind because of that fact, it's the quick run through of The Mutiny, parts 1-3.
AKA, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yep. It's a motor marathon the Rangers are going to be racing. Meanwhile, at Rita's, they begin to plot, but Lord Zedd's presence is felt. Back at the race, they're underway, and that music, let's just throw it out there, Ron Wasserman can do no wrong. That music is just banger right there.
That's in one of my notes as well. Yeah.
That is. This is the season where the music gets really good. Back at the palace, Zedd appears, causes destruction in the palace. The Rangers know something's not right, and they leave the race. To which thing we see Goldar then meet Lord Zedd in the Chamber of Command. So we have a command center and now a Chamber of Command. Zedd then turns a snake into his staff. Zedd gives Goldar his wings back. Rita tries to kiss up to Zedd and is scolded. Zordon Alpha sense something's not right and can contacts the Rangers. They go to the command center and they brief the Rangers. Zedd introduces the Z patrollers. Bulk and Skull crash but are scared by Zed's lightning. Zedd strips Rita of her powers to put her in the dumpster and banishes her, which is so cute seeing Rita as an action figure once again. Zedd sends her, his putties and they surround Bulk and Skull. The Rangers morph into action and take on the putties. Jason hits the Z and tells the team to hit the Z. It's their weakness. The Rangers check on Bulk and Skull and come back to the command center. Bulk and Skull, as a result of this interaction, now set a path to learn who the Power Rangers are. Zedd creates a piranha monster, and it is destructive. The Rangers minus Tommy return to action. They call their Zords, but the monster freezes them. Then moving on into part two. We see the Rangers utilize the T-Rex Zord as it was the only one not frozen. However, the Piranha Monster takes control of the T-Rex Zord. Zordon is powering up Tommy, and he's back in action. After getting the 411, he summons the Dragon Zord. The T-Rex and the Dragon Zord do battle, but the Piranha Monster takes control of the Dragon Zord too. Massive destruction ensues from the Zords. Tommy uses himself as a distraction while the others try to get to the T-Rex Zord. However, they were unsuccessful, and the Rangers retreat to the command center. Zordon says the Rangers need new Zords with the power of thunder. Alpha leads the Rangers to show them their new Zords. Well, everyone except Tommy. The Rangers need to regain control of the Dino Zords to gain the Thunder Zord. Billy thinks he has the solution, and Billy and Trini go to his lab. We see Piranha attack the Motor Marathon. The Rangers want to get back to the fight, but Zordon won't let them as they need their Zords. The Rangers still manage to get back in action to buy Billy and Trini some time. The Rangers encounter the monster and engage in a putty fight. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull can't seem to find their way back to the race course. The monster takes control of their four-wheelers, and they just go everywhere at this point while going backwards. After an extended fight, the Rangers defeat the putties, but Piranha brings the Zords to attack the Rangers, thus bringing us to the final part of the mutiny, which also is the debut of the brand new intro for Season 2 officially. So, the Zords just stopped randomly attacking. No reason, no rhyme, whatever. So they can attack the rally? That wasn't really explained.
Billy and Trini says, send them to attack the rally.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Power Rangers explaining something?
Billy and Trini are still working on the device. The Zords now attack the rally. The racers retreat. Billy and Trini finish the device and morph into action. They try to use the device, but it's having an issue. We'll get to that in a moment. The Rangers build the Power Blaster and attack the Piranha with it. They get the Zords back, but Zedd sends the Zords to hell. Literally sends them to hell. Alpha scurries trying to save the Zords while Tommy returns the Dragon Zord back to the sea. Zedd makes the Piranha grow. The Rangers retreat to the command center. Zordon informs the Rangers that Alpha saved enough to create the new Zords. The Rangers minus Tommy return to action and call upon their new Thunder Zords. Zordon tells the Rangers to form the Thunder Megazord. The new Thunder Megazord battle with the Piranha Monster, and the Rangers slay the Piranha to save the day. Zedd fumes, but doesn't feel defeated, which is a massive difference here compared to what we've seen. Rangers see where Rita is and get a laugh out of it. Tommy and Kim encounter Bulk and Skull after they use the device to stop Piranha's control on the four-wheelers, and then the race is finished, and the new outro for the show debuts as well. Oh, and Billy, next time make sure you put the battery in, right?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
So that was the quick run through of the mutiny parts 1-3.
Boy.
So with that, awesome. What did you all think about the 3-episode arc to bring us into season 2 of Mighty Morphin?
This could have been a 2-parter.
Yes.
Yeah, it could have.
But, like, I set my notes up slightly differently to the rest of the crew. And I give each episode a subtitle. And my subtitle for part two was a complete waste of time.
Accurate.
You're not wrong.
Like, and I know this is partly because of my experience of Power Rangers, right? I know that I don't have any nostalgia for Power Rangers. I have any of it. So when I go into something like this, I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is kind of boring.
I also had zero nostalgia just because I had, you know, I haven't rewatched these episodes since they first aired, you know, back in Russia. So I was just like, what am I watching here? Like, I don't remember Power Rangers being this boring, but it was like the whole charity dirt bike thing was pointless.
Can we talk about that for a minute, right?
Yes, let's start with that.
Because I've brought up in previous episodes how, and I believe my note is, our episode starts with the Children's Hospital Motor Metal Marathon. The fifth annual Motor Metal Marathon. I again state, how much time do these kids actually have? School, homework, training, teaching karate, teaching martial arts, teaching gymnastics, dirt bike riding, eating, saving the world, and presumably at some point sleeping. And none of them appear stressed in any way.
Well, we don't know what's in those power boosts that Alpha and Zordon give them.
That's true.
Maybe possessing the power coin just gives them the strength to endure this completely.
Go
ahead, Brian.
Go ahead, Brian.
Also, what's Ernie putting in those shakes? I mean,
it's true.
They do frequent that juice bar.
I mean, but let's also be honest. It's like, even though it's never been like truly confirmed, but Ernie has always been kind of considered somebody who kind of knows who the Rangers are and is kind of like an ally.
No.
That's a cute little headcanon.
No, it's not.
It's a headcanon.
Brian, it was something that we heard over at Power Morphicon, something with one of the writers, right? From one of the writers.
It's
post-canon headcanon.
Yeah.
Let me ask Mike, is it in the show?
Not officially.
And it's not canon.
No.
So realistically though, like, let's think about this. There's 7 days in a week. So let's say they teach a class twice a week, right?
Right.
They do gymnastics training twice a week, right? That still leaves 3 days for charities.
Perfect A's in every class.
Well, wasn't there that one time Billy got a B? But no, yeah, no, these are like, I'm telling you, there's some like Adderall or something in the Power Ranger costumes. This also goes to the fact that the entire premise of the show is faulty. It's not five teenagers with attitude. It's five overachieving, overloaded, and sleep deprived nerds.
Yeah.
It just depends on your definition of nerd. But yeah, the dirt biking for an unknown form of charity with full support by the principal is hysterical.
Like, I knock it, right? But if I'd been offered the opportunity to ride quad bikes when I was in school, I'd have been like, sign me the hell up.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh.
I love how they keep calling them like bikes, by the way. And I'm like, they're ATVs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they don't want to confuse the children any more than they're already confused by this three-parter. Actually, Mike, there is one. I do have one gripe with your run through. When they're riding the ATVs, they don't actually see anything that makes them stop. Jason actually gets a call from Alpha and Zordon and the communicators, which leads him to stopping.
He hears the thunder.
Yeah, he actually, they actually hear the thunder and they pull
off. Do they seriously?
I have a note about it.
All right, I take it back. I did not know thunder was a clue of trouble, but I guess with this
everything is a clue of trouble. We'll keep this in mind.
My note says, apparently Jason, who I remind you is riding a quad bike amongst dozens of other quad bikes, can hear a thunderstorm on the moon. We'll get to that. And pulls the others over by yelling, "Let's pull over," and they hear him. Mm-hmm. And then Billy goes, "That's probably not thunder."
Yeah, because, like, keep in mind, like, the same thunder that because they actually do show it over the race, like the thunder and the lightning and stuff. Right. And that's what Jason notices, and that's why they do the pull off. Yeah. So it's like they pre-made the notion when they had Zed arrive at the palace because that's what they showed.
The problem with that, is there is a lightning and thunderstorm on the moon.
Say it, Brian. Ben, you know you want to say it.
That's not how science works.
Yeah.
My note, in fact, is... where is it? Apparently there is a lightning storm in space, but it is on the moon, which is proven to have an atmosphere in Power Rangers, so whatever. Mm-hmm. Can only mean one thing, according to Goldar, and that's that Lord Zed has returned.
Well, can I pose this question?
It took less than 90 seconds. Less than 90 seconds to get our first "that's not how science works" of the season.
Can I pose one question, though? Could that have been the way that Lord Zed transferred himself over into the Chamber of Command at the palace?
Right. That's not the point here, Mike. The point is, Goldar thinks literally the only thing thunder and lightning can mean is Lord Zed.
Well, I guess when you're on the moon, thunder and lightning can only mean one thing, but...
I'm just glad he's not just on the moon. It's also on Earth.
I'm just glad he's not a Star Wars fan.
Goldar's only feeling it on the moon, though.
And then, later, Lord Zed appears over the moon amongst a bunch of clouds. You know
what
for clouds?
His little Z thing is cut out of his tattoo.
You know what there isn't in space?
Clouds?
Atmosphere.
Not in Power Rangers. Yeah... So I guess this is the perfect segue to talk about Lord Zed showing up, because despite Ben's issues with the lightning and thunder on the moon, he does kind of show up semi out of nowhere, because we've never heard of him until this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he shows up kind of menacingly, like compared to Rita, who just looks like a dork in a big dress, he looks pretty intimidating. Like, if you're a 10-year-old watching this, you're like, oh man, I better not go on the wrong side of this guy. And the music. I love that everyone has its own music.
I kind of equated it to, because I was that 10-year-old kid that was watching it in the summer, which was kind of a big reason why it was like a big three-parter, because like we were going to go so long without a Power Rangers season. Mm-hmm. That it was cool that they threw us this bone, which, by the way, they were doing like back-to-back with like new premieres of the X-Men cartoon too, like during primetime. I have notes about that, but that's not important. But
because they actually aired these three during primetime, right?
Yes. Yep.
It was primetime Power Rangers and then something to do with X-Men. I'm not certain what that story is, but it's not important. But I thought Sasha might want to know that
they were airing the two. You're gonna hurt Sasha's feelings saying the X-Men aren't important.
No, the X-Men are important. It's just, you know.
I don't care about primetime because I wasn't here for it. But, yeah.
I think what they did was, I think, because it wasn't like back-to-back nights. I think it was like back-to-back weeks that they did it. Because what they did was, I think for those 3 weeks, that one day each week was a dedicated children's primetime slot. So you had Power Rangers and X-Men, the animated series.
Mm-hmm. And I think they might have also from like Batman the Animated Series in there as well.
It was either the Logan go through the Weapon X program or something to do with Magneto. But I do have the dates here when they did originally air, which is actually right. It was July 21st, July 29th, and August 5th, 1994. So you're right. It was a weekly thing.
Yeah.
Thing I like about Zedd's appearance, right, when he first appears, is he like he appears in the cloud and he's like, make ready the palace for my arrival. And then he does a thing that like completely messes up the palace and then it appears instantly so they can't clean it up. He's like, yeah. Ha-ha, fooled you!
Giant fan in the background.
And not only that, but it also should be noted that this is the first, I mean, it's only season two, but this is a non-Sentai villain. This is a villain specifically created for the United States audience. Mm-hmm. They created Lord Zedd. And is also played both in body and in voice, the same voice actor as Finster, Robert Axelrod.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the one who would actually play Lord Zedd.
You know, there's quite a few really good villain entrances in Power Rangers, and this is definitely one of them. But since we're on the topic of Zords or Zedd,
there's so many Z words.
Can I ask Brian a question quick?
So
there's a point right after Zedd returns that he gives Goldar his wings back. Mm-hmm. Is that a storyline from the Sentai that I don't know about?
No, and I think they just somehow, when the costume was getting shipped over here from Japan, I think that they, like, forgot the wings. Right. So, like, by the time that they were getting into production, they had finally arrived, and they just decided to put that in. But, like, not only was that not a thing in Jew Ranger, but I also don't think that he ever technically lost his wings in Power Rangers either. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. But I think they just made up the storyline of you're getting your wings back just because to make up for the production side of things, essentially. Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of Goldar, let's talk about the fact that he dropped Rita like a hot potato and joined Zedd. Like, was he just waiting for Zedd's arrival the entire time, going like, I'm going to play along with you, Rita, until the big bad arrives?
Goldar always goes for the biggest source of power. He's a complete gold digger.
Yeah. Gold pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, thank you, Mike. That was the joke.
Okay, well, hold on. Quick. I have a lot of questions now, but the question...
If this wasn't a PG-13 show, I'd call him something else.
I thought this was a PG show, but...
Yes!
There's this whole thing about how Rita failed Zedd in her quest to take over the world. So, question, did her quest start 10,000 years ago, or yes, when the astronauts accident... Okay. So did Zedd just, like, do nothing in those 10,000 years?
No, the storyline, like, is he was off ruling other parts of the galaxy.
So he's just late to the party and realized that in, like, 10,001 years, Rita's managed to do jack.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank
you. He was throwing down with, like, Thanos, apparently, or something. I don't know.
So also something to point out, because this is no longer Sentai footage, actually have a different actress playing Rita, and they did actually a really good job of hiding her face, except when they needed to do close-ups on her face. Yeah. If you're looking for it like I was, you're like, oh yeah, that's a different actress. And I remember being very confused as a kid of why Rita suddenly had a different face, but also not a different face. So they did a good job with that, and then she gets turned into an action figure and shipped off back into the dumpster.
Well, if I also remember right, I think also for the Japanese actress, she actually was not feeling well. I think she was actually ill at that time, and that's why she actually couldn't film any new stuff.
And I know she came back for Magi Ranger, I think it was, because Mystic Force, yeah, because she's the
Mystic Mother.
Yep. But
she was the best part of the season.
Yeah. So there is some Sentai footage here of Die Ranger, but it's not the main focus, and I believe that's actually Carla Perez playing Rita.
Yeah, it's Carla Perez, because Carla Perez was the one who essentially took over for season 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. And also into In Space as well.
So there's something going back to the dumpster thing, right? It is quite clear in the opening of season one that when the space people open the dumpster, it's a human-sized dumpster, right? But then they bring out this itty-bitty ice cream maker dumpster to put Rita in this time, and she's like, not again. And I'm like...
Rita probably shrunk it to make it into a trash can, and Zed's like, that's a convenient place to put her.
Yeah.
Put her in the bin.
There's a moment right at the end there where, like, Squat and Babu are watching through these holes in the wall. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ooh, Prince Zed's command chamber changes color with his mood. And that is never mentioned again.
There's a very simple explanation for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
He stole Starfleet technology.
Okay, can we... It's been a while, clearly, since we've all kind of gotten back into Power Rangers, but, like, the putties don't look that different, except for that giant glowing Z that's totally inconspicuous. And this, I think, is actually the biggest hint that Zed won't be quite as... He will be formidable, but not as, like... He's not going to be more evil than Rita, in my opinion. Because he creates putties that are definitely tougher than the other putties, but that can be destroyed simply by hitting this very blatant-looking symbol on their chest.
The problem is it's not consistent, right?
Oh, you're right.
Because there's a moment, like if you watch this first fight, before they destroy the first putty by hitting them in the chest. They kick those Z's like 8 or 9 times and nothing happens.
It only happens when the plot wants it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the power of plot convenience.
And then later on in the season, right, there's a moment here where like they have to like mule kick them as hard as they can to make them explode. Then later in the season, I'm pretty sure one of them explodes on with a single finger. Like,
yeah.
If I remember right, I think later in the season two, a kid actually destroys a putty that way too.
You might be old enough to remember this, Ben, but do you remember Crash Test Dummy Toys?
Yeah.
Because I wish that like they had done something with that where like you push a button and all of a sudden it explodes.
Yeah.
Because like that would have been perfect because that's literally like it's right there. You press the Z and it just falls apart.
Where do you think they probably got the idea from?
they also like there's also that first fight where the Rangers are fighting the Z putties. There's a moment where Jason and Trini are back to back, and Trini's like, they're too strong. Everything you've seen before then is the Rangers knocking 10 barrels of anything out of these putties. Like the putties haven't even got a hit in yet, and they're too strong. It's like, come on. Try.
Look, let's be real here. Tying things well together and crafting a plot is not really the topic of this three-parter. The point of this three-parter is only one. New Zords for kids to buy and new toys and...
Introducing Zed
as the new villain. That's it.
And mm-hmm. Real quick, Brian, before we actually get further into this, because it's something I was noticing when I was doing my tape sessions as I was preparing, not just for this, but for all the episodes that we're going to be recording soon. How much of season of Zoo Ranger is actually still used in season two?
But from what like, I
original Zoo Ranger.
Original Zoo Ranger footage? Like that bit where they go up and like they see the monster kind of like destroying the town. That bit was used from Zoo Ranger. I know that much. They did have Zoo 2 footage made for this, but I don't know how much original like season footage there was.
Because the reason I bring this up, it'll come up in later episodes that we're going to talk about. But like, there's definitely still like, even though the Zords are all Die Ranger, and obviously the White Ranger when we get to him will be Die Ranger as well. We're going to be seeing still a lot of Zoo Ranger in this until we actually get to some Die Ranger monsters and stuff like that.
Right. And the thing is, too, It's really kind of phenomenal what they had to do here, because they had to film American footage. They then had ZU2 footage along with Die Ranger footage that they had to splice together. We're going to see a fight coming up here in another episode soon where they literally took American footage of the Mighty Morphin Rangers. They had the Die Ranger footage of the monster, and then they had the Dragon Zord all spliced together. None of these elements are occurring naturally on a set whatsoever, and yet they had to splice them all together.
Actually, there is a scene here where you can sort of tell they're splicing. It's when the Rangers first show up, when Bulk and Skull are freaking out to fight the putties. There's at least like a 2-second segment where like you can tell they spliced existing footage, like some other footage, with this new footage. It's right before they fight the putties. Either or that, or it's just a filming mistake and poor editing.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that Zed was just like, I'm going to take a fish and I'm going to make it into a monster.
One of the things that's notable about the putty fights, I'm sorry, before we move on.
Go for it.
Is the putty fights in this episode are American footage.
Yeah.
Because you can tell because it's Tommy's shield, right?
Yes.
And it is worth noting, if you watch the putty fights at the beginning of this, at the end of this episode and the beginning of next episode, Mutinies Part 1 and 2.
Yep.
Whoever is in the Pink Ranger costume is incredibly uncomfortable. They're moving poorly. They can't get the gauntlets to work right. Like, it is a mess.
Just I noticed that.
Yeah. And that's kind of the point that Brian was bringing up. It's like, it's a mixture of three things. It's a mixture of American plus Jew, Ranger plus...
Right, but very rarely do you get whole fights filmed that way. It's usually cut between the three. Mm-hmm. And it shows, because those putty fights are actually really poor fights. They're not. There's not a whole lot of creativity to them. Like, yeah. Even that stupid Tower of Doom windmill thing they did in that one episode is better than this.
Yeah.
Like, and there is a bit of a nostalgia for me about some of those fights, just because A, the Ron Wasserman music, and B, like, them fighting in a park in California, and like, it's obviously not Japanese footage, and there's just something about season two that just reminds me of like running home off the bus, you know, getting a snack and just sitting down in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going back and watching it, yeah, obviously they needed somebody better to, you know, choreograph these fights. And they eventually did get somebody to, because you'll see like the fights do eventually get better.
Yeah.
But for this first couple of episodes, yeah, no, I agree with you. It was not the greatest.
I definitely agree on the fights. I tuned the fight out at one point. I just like jammed out to Wasserman because I was like, this sucks. I'm just going to listen to the music, because the soundtrack for this episode is really amazing.
Well, it's the soundtrack for the season in general.
The season in general, yes. But
since we talked about the transition of power from Rita to Zed, it is also worth noting that there was a lesser spotted Scorpina sighting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And someone even allowed her to have a line. I'm not sure how that got through.
Yeah, and then she disappeared.
And then she disappeared completely. And that was also the last we will ever see of that actress, Amy Kwai. Because after that, it becomes Sabrina Liu.
Yep. And that's because that was the last of the footage that they had for that actress. Yeah. And I think the reason they couldn't get her is because I think she was filming another show. I think she was on another show in Japan when they started doing the stuff for season two of Mighty Morphin. So,
I guess with that, let's talk about the people we have mentioned in passing but haven't really touched upon.
So
you mean the true heroes?
Yeah. So Ben, I need to ask you
something. No, but we can go there too.
And this is the perfect question for Ben, because you just mentioned the true heroes of the show. How do you like the interaction that Bulk and Skull had with the Rangers, and how they turn that into what is now this season's story arc?
I kind of hated it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Elaborate.
Here's why. I like the fact that that Bulk and Skull are evolving and moving into this. We want to find out who the Rangers are thing, right?
Right.
But there is a moment in that fight where the putties are surrounding Bulk and Skull and the Rangers show up that Billy calls Tommy within 10 feet of Bulk and Skull. Then, at the end of the fight, Jason looks at Bulk and Skull and talks at them in his normal voice and is like, "You guys okay?" And they're like, "Yeah, we're fine." And then the Rangers leave and they're like, "We heard their voices. We can find out who they are." I'm like, how do you not recognize your bullies? These people make your life a living hell. How do you not recognize that voice?
Convenience.
Yeah, what Brian said. It could also be that, like, although we heard the voice clearly, the voice could have been slightly distorted by the helmets.
Still.
Yeah, but not only that, but they wouldn't be able to do one of their plot devices in a later episode with the voice thing.
Or, hear me out here, you write it better.
Oh, come on. That's asking a lot. You can't expect good writing. Where did you get these ideas?
Yes, I can. Because I'm going to be talking about some later.
Well, we're not there yet. So you're just going to have to deal, because this is the reality we are in right now of shit writing. Excuse me.
I'm not the first one to break the rule.
Bad, Sasha. Bad.
In my defense, the last few episodes that I have been recording of Nerdy Notions have been very NSFW.
Have you listened to Awesome Mania?
Anyway, no, actually I haven't, because I don't do wrestling. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Our motto.
But I believe it.
We have to pre-warn people that we're not safe for work.
Anyway, if we're going to let. Is there anything else to be said about Bulk and Skull before we move on?
Yes. I do want to talk about the fact that this is also an advancement. The reason why I wanted to talk about Bulk and Skull was, and I bring this up later when they start doing the Parantis head is controlled, their bike thing. In order to make up for the fact that they weren't as menacing this season, they kind of turned the slapstick up a couple of notches. And I flat out refuse to talk about it because it annoys the ever-living heck out of me. I highlighted it a lot in season one, whenever it would happen, when it was like gratuitous slapstick for slapstick's sake. And I know there's a bunch of people out there right now who watched Power Rangers when they were growing up that listen to this going, "But that's Bulk and Skull's thing."
Not me.
Not me.
I don't think so.
I have the firm belief that slapstick does not need to be in Power Rangers.
As someone who studied slapstick,
it's not the greatest.
It's not. It doesn't. I just don't want to focus on that when we're talking about Bulk and Skull, because there's so much more to talk about with Bulk and Skull. Like, they're the real hero's journey in this show. And I think that deserves to be highlighted.
Yeah, especially the fact that, like, these are the two characters that go, that are consistent throughout the entire Zordon era. Mm.
Yep.
Which tells you something about those two characters in general right there. So, speaking about characters that are consistent throughout the Zordon era, we also have Zordon and Alpha.
You mean the twiddle bot and the most useless mentor ever?
Hold on a minute. Are those the two you were talking about earlier, Sasha?
That they were, yes. Okay. Excellent segue, Mike. Because, like, Zordon is kind of useless, except for maybe, like, two lines. Because they do get new Zords, and he tells them about Lord Zedd. That is literally it.
Right, but he kind of lies to them as well.
Yeah.
Because there's this great moment where he's like, "Your new Zords are ready for you to use. All you have to do is get the old Zords back." And then when they get the old Zords back, he's like, "Quick, make the new Zords."
Yep, pretty much. It's just, it's so, it's kind of, I think, cheapens the moment of the fact that Lord Zedd actually accomplishes, like, destroying their Zords. And we do see a more emotional Zord destruction later, but it was like, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a great moment. They're losing their Zords. The ones that, like, and then 2 seconds later, they flash back to Zordon, who's like, okay, time for an upgrade. Like,
there's also a line where Zordon and Alfred are like, we have been preparing for Lord Zedd's arrival. I'm like, maybe you should have told the Power Rangers? Maybe?
The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Instead of just, like, kind of keeping that information to yourself, it would have been really nice for them to know that there's a bigger bad out there.
Nah. We only get to find out about villains when they show up.
Well, remember, Zordon can only detect it when they hit the morphing grid within Earth.
Which only proves that Zordon is running on Windows 98. Actually, no, he's not. At this point,
he's running on, like, NT.
Yeah, seriously. Sorry.
Yeah, like, Windows 95 hasn't even come out yet at this point.
I mean, it hasn't, because it's 1994.
It hasn't. Yeah, exactly.
Does anybody else remember Luna's Vista?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, the Enigma machine had more use out of it. Like, really?
Again, we also bring back the fact that, like, you and I talk about this in our episodes last season, Mike, that you can almost get away with the fact that Zordon knows about Rita's monsters, because she's kind of ordering off a menu and then Finster bakes it and delivers it, right?
And
it's entirely possible that Zordon has a copy of the menu.
Yeah.
Or he's like on DoorDash or something, right? But, like, with Zedd, he's just kind of improvising and making up monsters as he goes along.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the important things about Zedd as we get to, like, other episodes later down the road. He finds things, and Rita had done this once in a while, mm-hmm. but not to the level that Zedd does it, where Zedd goes, oh, you're really into that karate trophy. You want to earn that trophy. Takes the trophy and turns it into a monster.
Right, hey, but the point I was trying to get at is, like Zedd's improvising these monsters, and Zordon's like, oh yeah, that one's called Parantis Head, according to my sensors. I'm like,
how'd you know that one?
Legitimately, Zordon has nothing better to do because he's just a glowing head in a tube, and he's the one that names these monsters.
But then why does he and Zedd then call them the same thing? Like, they already know.
Because of lack of creativity.
Are they like BFFs? They look on Facebook like, hey, dude, nice monster. Prentice head? Yeah, sure.
There was a council of monsters. I don't know. Maybe it's like in Pokemon when they like first show up, we find out their names because they say them. I am Prentice head or whatever.
Prentice head. Like, God. But yeah, you are right about the whole, like, finding monsters thing, because, like, there's literally an episode where he's just like, hey, look, a purse, and there's lipstick inside of it. That'll do nicely. It's like, what?
So, and I think that's part of the randomness of Zedd, because he wants to keep them on their toes.
We're on to part two now, right?
Yeah, at this point.
Okay, yes. Cool. Sorry, I'm just trying to keep my notes in order.
Yeah.
I can't with Zordon.
So, question. Parantis Head freezes a bunch of the Zords.
Mm-hmm.
Including the Pterodactyl Zord.
Uh-huh.
Which at the time is flying.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't crash.
I'm sorry, what's your question? I don't understand.
That's not how science works.
I have a major issue with that as well, too. As an adult.
Can we just have like a meter going, Mike, of how many times Ben says that's not how science works?
It's kind of like we're at charge of it.
It's my catchphrase at this point.
So far we're at
two. We're on two.
But yeah, that is kind of the ridiculousness of Power Rangers.
We're on
sometimes.
Three. Thank you very much.
We're on three.
We're gonna count it right. I'm on three. Okay.
If you say three.
You said it twice, but in like one instance, like. So I don't know.
That's not how science works with hearing lightning from the moon. There's not how science works with clouds in space.
Okay.
And then there's this one.
Okay. Fair. All that right. is three.
But we're not counting all those examples, are we?
No, we don't count those.
We count the okay. actual moment.
Gotcha. Alrighty.
There's a question I have that goes back to the very genesis of me even sitting in this chair having this conversation with the three of you. So at the beginning of Mutiny Part 2, Zordon is trying to boost Tommy's powers.
Uh-huh.
And he can't. Mm-hmm. So if he can't boost the green powers, how does he give him new white powers?
He found a new battery.
Is it... I wrote in my notes, is it because the green powers were originally sourced from Rita? But we also know that Rita wasn't the original holder of the green coin.
So it kind of also gets answered in a later episode. Okay. Ironically, after our next group episode that we do.
Okay.
So it's kind of explained a little bit in that. And so what it is that you remember the green candle from season one. So the green candle actually still exists. And there's a little bit of wax left on that candle.
Okay.
So as a result of that, that is where... That's kind of how he's able to still have power, per se.
Okay.
All right.
Because that candle does play a factor in an episode a little bit later.
When Prentice Head controls the T-Rex Zord, he's not in the T-Rex Zord, right?
No, he's actually still on the rooftop.
So does the T-Rex Zord have some kind of AI?
They do. All the Zords actually have an AI in them that could also be piloted. So like,
okay.
So and one of the other things is at the same time, if you notice, is that when the Piranha Monster Prantis Head is on the roof and he's shooting out like that signal to like both the T-Rex Zord and then eventually the Dragon Zord, he's actually sending the commands into them on what to do.
Mm.
At the same time.
So, speaking of that, I do want to applaud. I just want to say the words "fish nunchucks."
Thank you.
Also, I've noticed that Piranha's Head, when he's doing the controlling thing, puts one into the fish nunchucks up to his mouth like the dragon dagger. Is that a common thing in the Zooranger Sentai? That there's a lot of flutes and dragon daggers and music?
Not that I'm aware of, and I could have sworn... Well, no. Piranha's Head is actually ZU2 footage, so by the time that they were doing that, they already knew that that was going to be a thing in Mighty Morphin, mm-hmm. and that's why they did that. But no, it's not a major thing, and the only way I think I've seen it in Zooranger, granted I'm only up to episode 30, is that you can only control it with the Dragon Dagger.
Okay.
Or the ZU-Soken, I think it's called there. But... yeah, that was a monster that was created specifically for Mighty Morphin by Japan. And they were like, yeah, okay, he'll have him control the dragon sword that way. So
there's a moment where they've lost control of their Zords.
Yeah.
And Zack says, we've lost our Zords, we're history. Trini says, I can't believe how this ends. They gave up quick.
Some of the dialogue choices are just very they're odd. Like when Jason constantly says like retreat to the command center and then he says back to action, like it's the most exciting thing ever. I'm like, dude, you're about to die. Like,
well, back to action at that point was like, it was already shorthand for
already
morphed and we teleport back.
I know.
I think the reason for the kind, I don't want to say defeatist retreat, but then the energetic let's get back to action, is because Jason's seeing in this situation that the situation we're in right now, while we're in this battle, we cannot win it. We have to retreat. There's no choice but
to retreat. I understand that.
But once he starts, like, when he goes back to command center, and I guess they get their pep talk from Zordon, or they get the briefing from Zordon to get more information. They go, okay, that's more information that we have now. There's a little bit more excitement of like, okay, let's get back in action now because we have this new information.
I don't think the motivation was Sasha's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get why. It's still stupid.
Yeah.
It's just, it's something that, like, is a repeat, like, Power Rangers gets in this habit, and this is true pretty much in all of the worst seasons, that, like, they have this catchphrase. Like, oh my god, this is gonna be my catchphrase. And that's gonna be the catchphrase, and we're gonna beat it to death with a stick.
All right, so there's actually... I actually talk about this quite a lot in my columns, not to plug other stuff for the site, but the original Power Rangers did a very successful job of integrating new terms into a cultural zeitgeist, right? Like Go-Go Power Rangers, Morphing, Zords. These are all things that we hadn't really thought of in that way before, right? And another, it's Morphin' Time. They all become these call and responses that became household, common, everyday use stuff, right? Back to Action was something they had been using a lot, even in season one, right? It's the problem is it's not until here in the Mutiny where we first see the Rangers in the command center morphed with their buckets off, that it becomes shorthand for let's teleport back to the fight.
Yeah.
Right?
And this season is also...
I love that.
Really, this is also part. The first season where seeing them without the helmets on in the command center becomes a much more regular thing, too.
Well, this is the first time we've seen it.
Yeah.
And it added a layer of verisimilitude that it was missing, right? But it wasn't until this point that they really started hammering Back to Action as their version of Beam Me Up, Scotty, kind of, we're going into action, or Get Me a Red Shirt, or Avengers Assemble, or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, they were trying to inject another quirk into the zeitgeist. And it is why in future seasons, Super Mega Rangers, that's a super mega win.
Oh, no! Oh.
Or Virus Eliminated in Beast Morphers. Or it happens every episode. It happens every time they beat something, because it is something that the kids can repeat when they're playing with their toys. It's trying to jump on that ability to inject something new into the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, did that? I take that too far.
Yeah, you're fine. I think it should be pointed out that, like, despite the battery issue, I have a note here that says they'd be useless without Billy and Trini, because half of like the. Then, like, the part two and into part three, they're like, oh my god, Billy, can you get this machine working? He's like, I need time. It's not ready.
Yeah.
So, before we go any further, I'm sorry, I have to do this. Brian, I have to do this. I have a note here that says, since we're talking about the new Zords, this is where Brian should talk about Die Ranger.
Okay.
Because I don't know anything about Die Ranger.
Okay.
Like, what are the themes in Die Ranger? What are the...
Okay, so it's not a series I've watched too much of. I've watched about maybe 5 episodes of it, but the main idea behind it is it's based on Chinese mythology, which is why you have, like, the Red Dragon, and you have the Pegasus, and the Griffin, and the, you know, Firebird, and all that.
It was a unicorn.
It was a unicorn here.
But in Japan it's Pegasus.
Ah. It was a Pegasus, yeah.
And then
also the Black Lion over here was actually green, which is why there's like a green paint wash on that, because that was a Green Ranger over in Japan. Yeah.
The White Ranger was a kid.
Yes, the White Ranger was a kid, yeah. I think that's where they got the idea for Turbo, by the way. But it was a really interesting thing to go with. And then, like, they did so much of that, like, next season they were like, we need to do something Japan because we're Japanese, and that's why we got Kakuranger.
Yeah, and it should be noted, and I've actually watched all of the entire season of Die Ranger, and one of the
really?
Yes, I have a bunch of the seasons on DVD over here. It's actually one of the shows I watched when I was healing up from jaw surgery.
Not nice, but
you know, it happens. But one of the other key themes of it is also chi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have like chi like powers to go with the Rangers, and the suits, I actually really love the Die Ranger suits, but they never came over here with the exception of the White Ranger, because one of the things that Saban was afraid of was that if they changed the suits every year, that people would get confused.
Yeah.
Because it's still being called Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but they changed their suits.
Yeah, the kids wouldn't like it, apparently. Which, honestly, if I think about it myself, I would probably think it's a little too weird. That, like, you wait, why did you...
with glitter.
Honestly, if they had set it up not and really, explained no. it like they did with Zeo and Turbo... Well, not Turbo, but, like... But, like, we did see them gain new powers. Like, I remember watching the first Power Rangers movie. And them getting new powers. Was it in the first? No, wait, hold on. It wasn't the first Power Rangers. Yeah. So they get new powers. And it was explained why they were getting new powers. And I was like, oh, this is where their suits are going to change. Nope. I mean, it's technically different suits, but it's still the same scheme and design. So I think if they had if this three-part arc started off with, you know, the Power Rangers actually losing their powers and having to, you know, go on a quest and get these Zords and the new powers that go with them and new suits, then kids would have gotten over it.
Some kind of ninja quest.
They did eventually do that with season three, but like...
But the suits stayed the same!
We'll actually
new suits for being ninjas.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, because after this season we will do the 95 movie and then go into season three. But I mean, the one thing that also, and I'm not gonna lie, the Die Ranger morphers are amazing. Yes. And then you ended up seeing the Die Ranger morpher in Lost Galaxy with Magna Defender, because that was actually a Die Ranger morpher that was used.
Mm-hmm.
Wish that kind of got a little bit more mainstream over here, because it was cool, but it is what it is on that one. But yeah, so for Die Ranger, you didn't get to see a lot of the stuff, unfortunately.
Rangers sit around and build a machine. They're like, oh no, what are we going to do? Maybe we can get Billy to build a machine. The answer is always get Billy to build a machine.
And I have notes about that.
Billy to build a machine.
I also have a note. It's kind of more of a general note. It's akin to Ben's That's Not How Science Works.
I had something there too, like that, yeah.
I have a word I'm not allowed to use in this show. It says BS science.
Oh, no.
As I was about to say.
Go ahead.
That's not how science works.
Yeah.
Four.
As we all hold up four fingers on that one.
This many.
But also, go ahead, Brian.
Well, all I was going to say, because I did want to address this scene, because it's like literally they're sitting there kind of moping about not having control of their dinosaurs anymore. Billy looks at a sheet of paper, looks over at Alpha, and says he has all the stuff he thinks he needs. And then I said, Ben, what do you think? This is how science works, right? And then on top of that, I'm like, how does Billy know that he's able to do something like that? Like, you know.
He built a flying car, dude.
He's a genius. We've established this.
Yeah, but like the signal, was he able to trace it back to the moon or something? Does he know if it's like Wi-Fi or LAN? Like what? Like how is he able to get?
Don't question it.
You know,
it's just gonna Billy.
My note is Billy just so happens to have all the parts he needs to build a machine that can free Dinosaur Mecha from the magic spell of a mutant fish monster in his lab. This is why I hate early Power Rangers.
The other question is, if Billy has all of this abilities to build this, why the fudge does the great and ever allegedly powerful being known as Zordon do anything? And Zordon's explanations for why they need to get the other Zords back was stupid. It's like taking AAA batteries from one toy and putting it in another.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that because, you know, I guess we can hop into part three now at this point.
No, we can't. Oh.
That was the perfect segue, though, right there.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Ben.
I've still got another page and a half of notes on episode two.
I don't know which one is episode two. They all just kind of this three-parter was so useless, they blended. I think it's also, I don't know if this is worth pointing out, but, like, it's interesting how the who got what Zord. Uh-huh. I don't know if anybody else has notes on that, but, like, Zach
My only got... note is why the hell did they give Kim another flying Zord when she couldn't handle a normal plane?
My note is why is Billy Zord a unicorn?
Well, we kind of established the Pegasus. Yeah, we got to establish that in Japan.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, I get like, what you're laying down. Why couldn't it have been a Pegasus?
Why is it called the Sorcerer's Stone in this country?
Because Philosopher's Stone would be too much for us Americans. I don't know.
Ding!
But we had... Oh, right. This is before Hercules had a Pegasus in the animated, in the animated movie. Wait, no. Wasn't She-Ra a thing by this point?
Yes.
Right. Let me tell you the difference between certain types of target audiences.
So unicorns are for boys and Pegasi are for girls now?
No. She-Ra was not aimed at the audience that Power Rangers was aimed at, right?
True.
The sheer fact is, you go up in 1992, 1993... You go up to the average person on the street and go, do you know what a unicorn is? They're going to say, yes. You say, do you know what a Pegasus is? They're going to be like, that sounds like a battleship. Something you would call a battleship. The USS Pegasus. It was a sheer fact is, and it's the same reason that when Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone got published in America, it was called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. It's because more people would know what that means. We are not your average human being when it comes to these targets. Sad.
Okay, that explains a lot.
Yep.
Okay, then that, but I don't know. I liked all the new Zords. Can we talk about the Zords?
Well, I'm not a fan of all the new Zords, right? I think the Pegasus Zord and the Griffin Zord are kind of lame.
They look the same.
They're roller skates.
Yeah.
And they look the same, just with the colors that are different.
I love the new Megazord. Like, the Thunder Megazord is one of my favorite Megazords of all time.
Yeah,
Samurai aesthetic.
I've always loved the Red Dragon Zord and how it can go into a fight mode, because I actually used to own the original Thunder Megazord with all the and you can like have them as the separate Zords, and I was always build into the regular fight mode, because like we would see from time to time Jason fight with the T-Rex Zord from time to time, but when you're fighting as a T-Rex you have some like obvious limitations, and obviously
I have
that was
a big
also
head and small arms.
I have a tail I can swing, but I mean, at least the Dragon Zord had more abilities than the T-Rex Zord did. But seeing the Red Dragon Zord be able to fly and then transform itself into that, like almost like a person in a way, to fight the monsters, that was like as a 8-year-old kid, that was really cool.
I could be mistaken, but I think in like Die Ranger, anyways, I think that red fighting mode was like a reference to Journey to the West, which was what Dragon Ball Z was kind of based off of, because he has the staff and everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of what that was supposed to be, anyways.
Yeah.
Either way, one of my favorite toys growing up. I loved that thing. I still have it.
I wish I did. I went up in the attic not that long ago, and I found a bin with like a lot of my old Power Ranger toys, but they were like most of my Thunder Megazord was like thrown away. Like I only had like parts of certain Zords.
It's also worth noting in the sequence that is the old Zords turning into the Thunder Zords, it is quite clear they're using the American toys.
Oh yeah.
Because the Mastodon has a big M on it.
Yeah.
I recognize that. I was like, it took me a second when I was watching it because I honestly haven't seen season two in forever. And I have that Megazord and I was like, did they just scan the American toy? Like,
yeah, although one thing I will say is like, I love how they do the Zord call where they call upon the Zords and they'll do like T-Rex, Red Dragon, Thunder Zord power. Like, and they do that sequence where they announce them that way. But
that was a mouthful.
But after a while,
it was a really excellent way to pad episodes.
Mm. And that's what it became. And it was like, man, I really and later on when we do like power transfer, it's great for that because it's the first time those specific people get to do it. But and so it's a nice moment for them. But like after a while, you just got to go, all right, Red Dragon, Thunder Zord power. Like you don't need to say Tyrannosaurus, Red Dragon, Thunder Zord power.
Imagine if they had done that for like season three, where it's just like, you know, like Red Dragon, Thunder Zord, Ape power, go. It's like, are we just going to chain link all these, like, you know, Barrel of Monkeys or something?
So, but yeah, I at a certain point, they should have just cut that off. Cause at that point we would have gone, yeah, we get it, you know. But also at the same time though, unlike in season three, they're still morphing to the original Dino coins.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
which also probably explains why they have to do the chain from T-Rex to Red Dragon and stuff like that.
So, do you want to move on to part three now?
Yeah. Let's do it.
I don't get it. Why did the Zord stop attacking? That is an excellent question, Zach.
The power of plot convenience.
He does openly say that he's moving them to attack the rally, right? But, like, just at the beginning of the episode, they're just not doing anything. They just sort of stood there, like, in their nose.
Well, right? He had to find... Well, the Shark Tank had to figure out where the rally was in order to get them there, so... can we talk about the fact that there's a point... I could be confusing the other. Wasn't there a point where he... Nope, never mind. Ignore me. I am confusing Power Ranger episodes now.
There is, however, a moment where, like, the Zords take, like, two steps, and then they're attacking the rally, right? Why are people still rallying when there are massive Zords around? Like, surely by this point, people have twigged Zords equal bad things.
Yeah.
I guess their logic is, those are the Zords! They're gonna protect us, so we don't have to run or do anything with our lives. Huh.
Have you ever heard of this thing called collateral damage?
No. The destructions happens in the abandoned warehouse district.
Well, not this episode.
Specifically stated he was in the business district this episode.
Yeah. So this time they're in the business district, so they're doing legit.
There's a moment here where, and I can't remember if this is in the last episode or in this episode, where Billy and Trini are working on the device. And Billy, it is one of the most patronizing things I've ever seen. And Billy turns around to Trini, he's like, good job, Trini. And all she's done is stripped a wire. I'm like, could you be more patronizing? It's like head pat. Like, it's really weird. And then there's like Zordon calling Billy, being like, is the device ready? Because the situation has become critical. Like, A, that's not how science works. That is not how you can't speed up someone by telling them
yeah
that they need to do it quicker. And B, when was the situation not critical? You've had your Zord stolen.
And, like, constantly they're talking about, like, oh, my God, people are in danger and blah, 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 blah. And, like, maybe Zordon should have done less glowing head tube things and more helping Billy build the thing instead of complaining.
You reckon he sent Zordon Alpha to him to help out?
Yeah, seriously.
And then there's a moment where Zed's like, they will never regain Zed actually says the line, they will never regain control of their old swords. Like, he knows about the new ones. He actually says they're old swords.
See, that's just where bad writing comes in, because, like, you literally, like, that's where you need to pass that by an editor again, because it's like, instead of saying old, just cut that out and just say, you don't ever regain control of their Zords, and it sounds better, you know?
Well, either that, but keep in mind, they were already shown what the new Zords were going to be.
Yeah.
But in theory, yeah, maybe Zed could have watched him, because we know that, like, Rita always spied on him with a telescope.
Then he doesn't know about the Zords when they transform later.
Yeah.
Isn't he surprised later on?
He's surprised later on.
True. So he then that surprised. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
That's just
the writing thing then. At that point.
Yes. That's kind of that. This is what we're getting at.
Yeah.
And then, bless the writers' hearts, right? They try. But then they have this moment where the Dragon Zord that we have frequently seen is taller than a smegging skyscraper, shoots rockets from its fingertips at a bunch of people on quads, and the people go, what was that? Who shot that? And there is flat countryside for miles, and there's no Dragon Zord. And you're like,
it's old man Winkler in the barn again with his rocket launcher.
And you're like, just superimpose it in the background. Have them be like, oh dang, it's the Dragon Zord. We're back to this nonsense again.
Yeah. Old man yells at Japanese footage.
It wasn't Japanese footage. This is Power Rangers footage. This is footage of the race.
Yeah. So old man yelling at American footage.
As far as like a season opener and like a, you know, something to set up, the only thing that I think this three-parter did well is establish the new status quo, which was like, get rid of Rita. There's a new head honcho in town. And the new toys, Zords, same thing. Other than that, everything else is just padding and like, that's it. This is the only thing that this episode managed to do, is establish a new villain, establish new Zords, and establish the new status quo as a result. Oh, and we're still, for far too many episodes, going to go with, Tommy's about to lose his power. Nope, he's got more juice left. Because we have to drag that on.
It took three episodes for the Rangers to think to just... It took three episodes for the Rangers to think to just kill the thing that was controlling the Zords.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, come on. Step one... hit the thing. Step two, then get Billy to build a machine.
I mean, yeah, if they'd taken out Piranha Boy, it would have solved half the problem. Then the rest of the episode is, okay, actually, if we get rid of the monster, do we even need the machine?
No.
So, yeah, they just unnecessarily padded this into a three-parter to make it more epic than it needed to be.
Like, had they just did what they did in the first place, where they did a misdirect, where they were going to blow up the Dragon Sword with the, you know, a power thing.
Yeah, and no, just, they weren't. They thought they were, but they weren't.
Had they just done that, it's like, we would have had, I guess we would have had
a much shorter season intro.
Yeah. We would have had as many nights of, wonder during the summer on Fox, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and
I think that probably played a factor. I think the Fox execs wanted at least three episodes of Power Rangers to kind of feed out that little bit of block that they're doing for the prime time.
Yeah, well, clearly no one told the writers because it looks like they had like a two-parter planned, and then the execs are like, okay, you need to turn this into a three-parter, and nobody told the writers until the last minute. And they're like, oh, fine, so we're just going to take this, put it at the end, and put all this useless stuff in between.
Like, it literally sounds like they were just like, oh, wait, crap, we have another episode that we need to film. So Billy's going to go over here and build this thing that, you know, science, and then the Rangers are going to go over here and cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And that works. That gets us where we need to go. So.
But yeah.
But we finally get Zordon laughing in part three.
Oh, wow. The most important moment in Power Rangers history.
Yeah. 99 bottles of slime in the wall. Yeah.
But, you know, at least it does sort of, like, hint at the fact that, like, Karina's gone for now, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's gone for a bit.
There's also a moment in this where, like, in episode one, Bulk and Skull lose their bikes, right? They're going to get wrecked. And then in episode three, they're driving around on bikes again, and you're like, are they independently wealthy? Those things are expensive.
No, they were still. No, they actually legitimately took two of the Rangers.
No, they didn't. They tried to, and then they got jumped by putties and ran off.
Yeah, but well, the thing is, if you actually watch at the very end of the episode when they actually finish the race, Bulk and Skull are actually on one of the Rangers, and then Tommy is riding with Kim, so Bulk and Skull can actually ride on the sixth one.
But they're riding on two separate bikes.
At the beginning,
they were on two separate bikes, right? And then their bikes get wrecked. Then they find the Rangers' bikes abandoned. Yeah. And then the gang comes back at the end of the episode, and Trini's like, you'll have to double up.
And so, when they... Yeah, so that's essentially what was going on there. But also, and what also happened with the two that they're riding, those were actually the Rangers' bikes that they're riding after they had wrecked theirs. It's also the reason that the Rangers were able to get it back was because they used the device on the quad bikes, so they could actually like undo the spell from the monster, and then that's when they finish off the race.
Right.
Okay. Well, the episode ended where it began.
That's good.
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's just bad.
Yeah, pretty much. That's it.
And I know we say that a lot about early Power Rangers.
But like, this was supposed to be like a season premiere. Like, you're supposed to make it like bigger. The only thing it did was add more Zord footage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're watching this objectively as an adult, but I will say that as a kid, it was kind of cool to see, like, hey, we're getting some Power Rangers during the summer, because, you know.
Yeah.
Right, and I dig that, right? And that's why it's cool that you and Mike are here, and to a lesser extent, Sasha, to give that... experience of having watched it when it was first airing. But like, I have to come at this with my own experiences, which is I could probably edit all three of these episodes down into 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Which would be essentially be two episodes, yeah.
Or I could rewrite the three episodes and make them better so that it takes out some of the continuity errors. Yeah. Right? Like...
I mean, that's like the history of a lot of Power Rangers. Is like, I could do this better.
Yeah. Like, that sounds like an article that you could write.
It could, but I have a bunch of other articles to write. It's almost like there's a whole set of articles called Musings from the Grid where the three of you can do some damn writing.
Yeah, I'll add that to the list.
I've got another 15 seasons of Power Rangers to cover, mate.
Let's be honest. When when we went on break from season one, I think everything else kind of went on to break too at the same time.
That's fine, but you guys can write them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian, let's do it. Okay. Yeah, I have a long list to write.
I would love to see you guys take an old episode and go, this is how I change it.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be great. That would be a great series of articles.
Yeah. With that, we're near the end. We're near the end. So we've talked about it, we've nostalgied it, we've trashed it. We've done it all. Ben's that's not how science works.
I'm on a new record.
Is that five that everyone holds up their hand five, which makes absolutely no sense because nobody could see us anyways. So with that, let's do social medias. Brian, we'll start with you. Where can the people find you on the social medias, Mr. Blue Ranger?
Yes, sir. So you can find me at castwavestudios.com. Be sure to check out our shows, Boldly Going Nowhere and One Drunk Geek. Also, be sure to check out my Twitter at One Drunk Geek, where I review beer. So take a look at that. And moving on.
Yep. All right. Sasha the Red Ranger, where can the people find you on social media?
All right. You ready? It's geekgirl101.tumblr.com. Geeky Captain on Instagram, Geeky Kaplan, that's with a K, on Twitter, where you can hear all of my wonderful MCU-related and comic book-related musings. GeekyCaptainWrites.wordpress.com, where I, of course, write comic book reviews, which takes up quite a bit of my time as I summarize the entirety of the issue before I give my thoughts. And, of course, on right on here, / Nerdy Notions, with a dash.
Yep. Mr. Ben. Mr. Black Ranger now.
You ready?
Oh god. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let me prep myself for this. All right, I think I'm ready. I think I got this.
You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find Voices from the Grid's sister show, Awesome Mania. It's not suitable for work, and it's where Mike and I talk all about the ongoing activities in the world of pro wrestling over at
this website / Awesome Mania.
You can find the Twitter for this show over at
VFTG_PR.
You can, once I get my hands back in a way that can actually type again, because ABBA has no work very good. There's very broken. There's very, very broken. I'm going to get back to writing my reviews of Power Rangers series, starting with Ninja Storm, which I'm really looking forward to writing about because I low-key love that series. You can find those over at?
At the website / Ben's-Journey.
And you can find me doing the video game streaming thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
What are you, Mike?
All right, you can find me, the newly minted Green Ranger. You can find me, the newly minted Green Ranger, who's going to get screwed over anyways later on. Thanks, Brian. You can find
me. You only get to become the most popular ranger in the world.
Yeah, that's also true. But
you mean most overrated?
Back up. Screwed over.
Because I'm losing my power soon.
Bow freaking hell! You get them back. Everybody knows this.
You become Gandalf the Red. Stop complaining.
Not only do you get them back, you get to come back for like 20 odd seasons from now, and you get to be in one damn episode and overshadow the entire cast of that season. You get to take a series like Dino Thunder, which you have no right being in whatsoever, and somehow make it worse.
I anticipated this, by the way. This is why I did this.
Genius and evil, Brian. I don't know if I approve.
But anyways, you can find me on
Twitter. You, of all people get to come out of nowhere in like two seasons time and go, my dream has always been to race race cars. But you know what? I'm just going to leave halfway through the season. And you know what? Just throw the rest of the cast out as well, because they don't need a living or anything.
Power Rangers is a career killer for some. So, yeah.
Anyway,
it's not like Adam Park would have stuck around and no, Johnny the Young Bosch didn't want to leave. No, Jason David said, I'm going to leave Chuck because I'm getting jump kicked as Power Ranger, even though I'm going to come back season next season. You want to play this game?
I can't wait to get the turbo so we can actually address some of that stuff too.
Brian, do you have any idea what you've done?
Do you see how red my face is?
You want to say unfortunately? You're literally the only Power Ranger that has ever made a living from being a Power Ranger for more than three seasons.
The answer here is, Michael, now is your only segue to talk about your social media.
Should I have made him pink instead?
Too late now. Can't take it back.
Yeah. And you can find me on Twitter at @TheLinenBomb75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X35Productions. The website is TXHDHockey.com. However, depending on circumstances and the NHL, the website name could change, which is why I have been saying at the website.
Gotcha.
This website. Nothing is confirmed at the time of the release of this episode, January
6th. Why don't you just make it JasonDavidFranks1fan.com? You can either sign it up to get redirected from EvaMarie's1fan.com.
So as of right now,
grab a cup of something and let Michael finish.
So at this time of recording, it's still txhdhockey.com, but it could change to x75productions.com, but nothing is confirmed yet. Stay tuned to Twitter and stuff like that for when those changes do happen. Changes will happen.
Understandable.
I just don't know when. There is a time frame that I have. It just depends on certain things. And then for the show itself, it is the website /VFTG. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. I go live Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So with that, Ben, take us out, my friend.
Friend.
You have the nerve.
This episode has to end.
Then we will end, and I will do my part, as I always do, by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. In the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, screw Tommy all. I mean, be excellent to each other, and party on non-gender-specific honorifics.
And with that, as always, ladies and gentlemen, and anybody in between, be sure to grab your power coins and your power morphers.
And may the power protect you.
Thanks for nothing, Zordon.